Good morning and welcome again to another edition of Biz Talk. My name's Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony.
And we're glad to have you aboard this morning. We're really glad you tuned in and you're going to listen to our program. We have a very appropriate topic this morning. It's called taxes. And our guest is Kurt Haling, one of the sponsors for Biz Talk. He's going to be here talking about what we've all been hearing in the news is fiscal cliff. And we're not going to get into a lot of deep stuff. But if you would like to call and ask a question, this might be a good show to call in. Kurt is here to give us a little bit of overview of what's ahead of us. No real sense of direction yet, but again, if you have a question that's not too detailed for your business, please give us a call. We'd be very happy to answer it. But you're listening to Biz Talk this morning. Biz Talk is brought to you each week by the SCORE chapter. The Fox City SCORE chapter, located in Appleton, serves an 8-county area stretching from Appleton down through Oshkosh into Fond du Lac. And SCORE provides free consulting, mentoring services to entrepreneurs and business owners who would like to grow their businesses or try to get around a bump in the road. You can learn more about how SCORE can help your business by visiting us at foxcities.score.org or calling us at the Chamber office in Appleton at 734-7101. And you can also attend some of our workshops. Randy, every now and then we put on a workshop. Tell us what's coming up.
Right. Well, the most popular program that we've had in the past has always been the Simple Steps program.
Yep.
And we are going to be coming back as of January 17th. That's a Thursday morning. We'll be starting our program. That particular session runs from 8:30 until 12:30 in the morning. It covers the basics about entrepreneurship and starting a business. It's $25.
Includes lunch.
It includes lunch at the Copper Rock, which mm-hmm. also includes breakfast snacks and very, very good coffee.
Yep.
So you're invited. That would be, I said, $25 per customer on the 17th of January. We'd ask that you arrive between 8 and 8:30 just to be able to check in and so on. You can register for that program on our website. Again, that is foxcities.score.org. And you can go ahead and get register on that one. You can also then register for the following four sessions, which mm-hmm. cover the details and basics of starting a business plan, mm-hmm. and we'll get into those later. But for right now, sign up for the first program. It'll give you the basic understanding of what it's all about to be an entrepreneur. And as I said, that is January the 17th. It'll be at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop, which is right downtown Appleton at 210 West College Avenue. And like I said, come just register for it. It's a super program if you're even either in business or just thinking about going into business.
The other four topics quickly just cover things like what sort of entity do you want to be?
Right.
Marketing, social
Correct.
Networking,
yep.
accounting,
yep.
Understanding financial statements. And then the last one is where do you find the money?
That's what we try to find out, yeah.
And each session is $25. And they're going to be held on February 6, 13,
6th, right.
20, and 27.
Very good.
Got okay. it down.
Got it down, Pat.
And those are in the evening on a Wednesday. So, again, go to the website, foxcities.score.org, if you're interested. Sign up. We have room for about 25 people.
Right.
And it's a really good program. This will be our fifth one, I believe.
Right. And yeah. also a reminder out there to veterans, if you're interested in attending this,
yep.
You can attend free of charge as a veteran. All you need to do is go out to the SCORE national website, score.org,
mm-hmm.
Check under the Veterans Fast Launch Initiative is what it's called. You go out there, click on, and you get a coupon that authorizes you to attend the different sessions that we're offering. Bring that coupon in, and it's free of charge to you.
Yep. Well, thanks, Randy. We also want to thank our sponsors who bring the BizTalk program to you each week. And those sponsors include Associated Bank, Albertson Haling CPAs. Kurt Haling is a partner in that firm. He's here this morning. Lakeview Credit Union is also a sponsor for BizTalk. We appreciate the sponsorship of Hurling Clark Law Firm. And a special thank you to the Business News, Jerry Mader, who puts out a good business newspaper every 2 weeks. If you're not, if you are not subscribed to it for $20 a year, you should be. As a business owner, it helps keep you informed of business events and business activities that are happening in your environment, East Central Wisconsin. And a special thank you to eBiz Results for helping us with our BizTalkWithScore.com website. We have that up this morning. Randy brings his computer in every Saturday morning. So if you'd like to email us a question or a comment, you can do that through BizTalkWithScore.com. Right. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get to a conversation with Kurt. Kurt Haling is here to talk about taxes this morning, so stay tuned. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
And we even have some good tax music this morning. Thanks, Vicki, for that. We're back here. We're Biz Talk. Tony Bush here. Randy Melzer is in the studio. And our guest this morning is Kurt Haling. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do? And maybe what's starting to what we're going to talk about this morning.
Well, we've got two offices, one here in the Valley, one up in Green Bay. And we've been in business now 15 years, serving both locations. After 15 years, you start to think you've seen everything, and then you start to see what we've got this year and the mess that this is. And what we've got going on this year is one of these things where you've got two different sides that are digging in their heels trying to prove a point, and the rest of America is left in the middle holding the bag.
So what is the fiscal cliff? Is it a really bad thing? What happens if we just, hey, let's go over the cliff. Let's go.
Well, there's two sides of the cliff. The side that affects the tax end of things is if they don't decide anything, we go back to the rules that were implemented before the so-called Bush tax cuts or the Bush tax changes back in the early 2000s, which means that each and every American who pays taxes is going to have a tax increase, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that the impact of that is effectively the American public gets left holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I try to explain this to people is imagine you're watching a football game and you're down by 3 points. Your team's down by 3 points. There's 2 minutes left. They've got the ball. And all of a sudden they come in and say, oh, by the way, now field goal is only worth 2 points.
Interesting.
Okay. So they're going to change the rules right in the middle of everything and go back to the way it used to be.
How do you, you've been planning one
way
all along.
Yeah.
You've been planning one way all along and now you don't know how to plan.
Yeah, you can't even win now. If you have a question for us, if there's something in your business that's bothering you, if you have a question about your tax strategy or your situation without getting into great detail, please give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150 in Appleton. If you're outside the Appleton area, call us at 1-866-887-1150.
And the one thing we would remind you, please call in if you have any questions on tax questions and so on. Remember also, this is not a political commentary show. We're looking for business questions. So if regardless of what your political views are, we'd be more than happy to answer any of your business questions.
Kurt, what does a business owner do right now as they're looking at next year? There are only 3 weeks left, basically, this year, a little over that. And what do we do? Is there anything we can do to position ourselves, save taxes, plan for 2013, some general things?
Well, the first thing you need to do is plan for 2012. And what that means is good to get a good handle on where your profit loss situation is for 2012, what your tax situation is going to be for 2012, and evaluate that and say, okay, now thinking about if I want to buy a piece of equipment, do I buy it now or do I buy it next year?
Are all the rules in place for 2012?
98% of them, but the 2% that aren't also can throw a monkey wrench into things. For example, there's an animal out there called alternative minimum tax. And the way I explain alternative minimum tax to people is it's the tax you pay if the IRS thinks you're not paying enough tax.
And that's a pretty old standard, isn't it? It goes back a long time.
It's an old standard. It goes back to the 1980s, to the Tax Act of 1986 when Reagan was involved. And what the issue with that is every year there was the threshold of when alternative minimum tax would kick in would increase, but every 3 or 4 years they would have to reset that or it falls back to the old threshold. Well, they haven't reset that yet, and this is something that's knocking a lot of press. 3 or 4 years ago they had to reset it, and it got a lot more press because there were no other tax issues on the table. Every 3 or 4 years, they need to reset that. That hasn't been reset yet, and hopefully they don't forget about it.
What is that 86 threshold, do you know?
$45,000.
$45,000 of income?
$45,000 of exclusion before they start calculating alternative minimum tax. And it's a very complicated calculation. There's no way to explain it on over the air. It's hard enough to explain one-on-one.
So if someone has... They're going to be over the 40. A lot more people today would be over that 45,000 threshold than back in 86.
Well, to give you an example, the threshold last year was about $74,000. So mm-hmm. there's a $29,000 gap in there before they even start calculating alternative minimum tax.
So more people would be subject to it if they stay with the 45.
They figure about 25% more people would be subject to it than have in the past.
And your advice would be everybody should at least look to see if they're going to be impacted by that, because that will cause more tax expense for the company.
And we've been looking, and most of the planning we've done has made the assumption that, yeah, they'll get around to it sooner or later, but now we're in the middle of December, right? They haven't gotten around to it yet.
What a way to run a business, huh?
Yep.
Kurt, what else is going on with... anything else with 2012? We should try to narrow down and figure out what our net income is going to be, make sure we've got all of our expenses lined up, make sure we've got everything documented.
Well, documentation's a big issue, and the other issue from the planning standpoint is we're typically talking to business owners, do we buy a piece of equipment this year or next year?
Right.
And as a lot of business owners may know, mm-hmm. there are thresholds out there of income or thresholds where you can purchase so much equipment in a year and be able to write it all off in that particular year. That threshold went from $500,000 last year down to $139,000 for 2012, which is a big issue because, for example, you and I, Tony, have been working with a client who's looking at a $180,000 mm-hmm. laser cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Under this year's rules, they wouldn't be able to write that all off. Under 2011's, they would. Now, here's where the monkey wrench comes in for 2013. If it goes back to the old rules, they can only write off $25,000 of that.
The old depreciation schedules.
The old schedules, and the rest of it has to be taken over 7 years.
Yeah.
So that has a huge impact as they're putting that in. That's a huge thing to take into consideration.
If you have any questions for Kurt Haling this morning, we're talking about taxes, how to plan for 2013, the end of 2012. Give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, you can reach us at the TDS Metrocom toll-free line, 1-866-887-1150.
Kurt, there's a couple other questions. I've seen some things going on where there are companies that are paying their dividends. They are paying things that would be covered under the capital gains tax. In advance, things that they weren't going to pay until 2013, they're now paying before the end of 2012. Are you seeing that?
We're seeing a lot of that, and the reason we're seeing that is because the expectation is out there that the tax on dividends and capital gains is going to go up in 2013. There's some talk out there that some of those rates may stay the same. There's a lot of talk that those rates are going up. Mm-hmm. I can tell you with 99% certainty those rates are not going down.
Correct, yeah, that we would know.
And so because of that, there's a couple of issues out there. One is up until the Bush tax cuts, dividends were taxed as ordinary income. They didn't have the same tax rate as capital gains. There's talk out there that may revert back to ordinary income again.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is... you're going to get taxed at the same rate your W-2 income does or your business income does, not the more favorable capital gain rates.
Okay.
The other conversation we're having with people, and this is individuals and small business owners, this is to accelerate any capital gains into 2012 and take that income now when you know what the rates are going to be. So we're seeing a lot more trading activity. I was talking with an attorney yesterday who's trying to close three real estate deals before the end of the year.
That's standard procedure. Whenever there's such uncertainty, is to try to get everything shut down as fast as possible.
Shut it down as fast as possible and capture that income into 2012 when you know what the rules are going to be. Because the expectation that the rates are going to be going up next year, it really throws our planning into reverse, because most years we're telling people, well, you can take it this year, you can take it next year. And most people choose to put off the tax as long as possible. This year they're actually accelerating that income into this year.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, Kurt, and then we'll come back on the other side, continue our conversation. We'll give out the phone numbers again. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're glad you're tuning in. We have as our guest this morning Kurt Haling, a CPA and a partner with Albertson Haling CPAs here in the Valley and up in Green Bay. We're talking taxes. We're talking planning for 2012 year end, make some decisions about purchasing fixed assets and that sort of thing. And we're going to talk about the 2013, the changes that might be coming, the fiscal cliff. So if you have a question for us, please give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150, or call us on a TDS Metricom toll-free line at 1-866-887-1150. Kurt, we've been talking about in the first segment there taxes and some planning for 2012 and looking at 13, but I'd like you to give out your contact information in case someone would like to call you and contact you next week and not talk about their question on the air.
Sure. Our Fox Valley office is 920-886-2241. It's 920-886-2241. Green Bay, 920-405-8549. And the website is alberts-haling-cpas.com, alberts-haling-cpas.com. So you can get a hold of us any of those ways.
And you're located on American Drive here in Appleton.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, one of the things we've been trying to do, of course, is to get facts out to people so they understand a little bit more about what's going on. But some of the things that come out we keep seeing are things that there's misinformation, things that are intentionally put out to cause people to be panicking and so on. Off air, we were just talking a little bit about one of the urban legends that keep coming up about some of the taxes that could happen to you.
Yeah,
kind of go back to what we were talking about there a little bit.
Yeah, there's with the Obama Health Care Act coming up, there is a 3.8% Medicare tax that's going to be going on capital gains, dividends, and income if people have income over $250,000.
If
the total income is over $250,000. Then your investment income is subject to that 3.8%.
Okay.
Okay. So dividends, interest, capital gains. One of the urban legends that's out there, and every couple months I see this come across my email, is that if you sell your house, you're going to be subject to this 3.8% Medicare tax. That is absolutely 100% false. Okay?
Yep. Okay.
The only way that that would kick in is if you make, and I mean make, not sell for, make $500,000 on your house if you're married filing jointly. Okay.
So
that means you bought your house for $400,000, you sold it for $900,000.
Right.
If you can do that,
in this economy, you're blessed.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Then the taxes are not bad then.
Right.
Okay.
So Kurt, going into 2013, the way it looks now, there's the $200,000 income for a single person and $250,000 for a married income married couple. That's adjusted gross income, right?
That's adjusted gross income. That's where that 3.8% is going to kick in.
Those
on
are
your
the
unearned
triggers.
Income.
Those are triggers for other things too.
Right. And those are triggers and you hear this $250,000 number kicked around a lot these days.
Right. Now what happens, married couple out there, they own a business and their sales are $500,000 a year and their adjusted gross income, which includes dividend income.
It includes dividend income, but keep in mind the definition of dividend income. It's the dividends you get from, for instance, the big companies, stocks, mutual funds, Microsoft or something like that.
So a cash distribution, a distribution income in a smaller business wouldn't be treated the same as that?
That technically is not a dividend. A lot of people call it dividends when they come
correct.
In, but that's the technical term for that is a distribution. That is not subject to that.
Okay, that's an important point, I think.
That affects most of the people out there who are sole proprietorships, who are partnerships, and so on.
And even your S-corporations.
And S-corps. Okay.
LLCs,
So there would have to be a dividend paid by a C-corp. That would be the items that would come under those types of dividend taxes.
Correct.
Okay.
So a dividend as a result of stock ownership, not correct. Necessarily owning the company. Okay. So the triggers are $200,000 for single, $250,000 for married couples. What are the taxes that could happen if I'm married, I have $250,000 or more of adjusted gross income? What am I facing?
Well, one thing that's going to happen on incomes over $250,000, if your W-2 income, your wage income, is over $250,000, you're going to be subject to an extra 0.9% of Medicare tax. And that the goal there is everybody pays 2.9% the way it is right now. And when you get over $250,000, again, that 0.9% brings you up to 3.8%. So that's what they're thinking is on that again. That's on wages over $250,000, and that's W-2 type wages.
Okay, then what is the where the 2.9 is shared between the employee and employer? The employee goes up to 2.35% from 1.45%.
Right, so that's the extra 0.9. Yeah. The employer doesn't pay any extra on that.
The employer doesn't have to pay anymore, but the employee has to pay
more.
So why would they not add that onto the employer's shoulders as well?
Because the way it gets calculated, it actually gets calculated through the individual's tax return, and so what happens is you might make $125,000 at one job, $125,000 at another job, and that's $250,000, so you're subject to the 0.9, but the two employers don't know what each other's doing.
Okay. But if I am working at a company where the employer is paying me $300,000, why not just tack the 0.9 onto them too?
I don't know if they're going to do that or not, or if they're going to run it all through the individual return.
Okay.
All right.
So there's a lot to track here.
There's a lot to track.
And it's a matter of keeping our eyes and ears open and understanding and attending seminars. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to have Kurt come back in January and do a seminar. We're going to try to pick a date and do another seminar for us on this issue. So if you're listening and you'd like to know more about what this future looks like, it'll be after December 31st, but we've gone past that fork in the road. The government will have made a choice. We're going over the cliff or not. There'll still be a lot of interest in what's going on with taxes.
Right, and even going beyond that, you know, I've been working with a client who has several hair salons, and they're all the people that are working there are considered employees. It's not a chair rental type of situation, and their situation. They're looking forward to 2014 because they're trying to figure out what's a full-time equivalent of an employee, because at 50 full-time equivalents, they have to offer health care to all these people. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take your $15 haircut and double it up to 30, no matter, you know, even for somebody like me who only has, you know, I'd be paying about a buck a hair.
Me too. Now, let's go back to the Bush tax cuts. According to what's happening with the fiscal cliff, if no decisions are made, we go back to the old tax rates. Going back to what?
We're going back to the roughly 2001 tax rates then.
And what is that rate?
Again, it depends where your income level is, but the highest rate's going to be as much as 39-40%.
And that's going to have a significant impact on people who don't make $250,000.
Well, it is, because what happens, and here's an example on the fiscal cliff end of things. If somebody like Oshkosh Truck is pulling back reserves because of the fiscal cliff, their subcontractors are going to have less work.
Mm-hmm.
The employees at those subcontractors have less work.
Mm-hmm.
The people that you and I were talking about earlier with this laser cutter, one of their big customers is a subcontractor of Oshkosh Truck, so they're saying, well, we might not have the work that we thought we did for this thing.
Right.
You know, do we buy it or not now?
Right.
It has a huge ripple effect throughout the economy. So it's not just the 1% or 2% that are over $250,000 of income. It affects everybody.
And not only do they potentially lose income, lose jobs, as you mentioned, through the, I call it a tsunami effect on this, mm-hmm. because it's a big tidal wave going through this economy. But the taxes go up. The employee might make the same amount of income at that job if they're able to keep their job, but their taxes are going to go up.
And they have less disposable income. And the other thing that I foresee happening is there was a cut in Social Security withholding a couple of years back, where they cut the Social Security and Medicare withholding from 7.65% to 5.65%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's been in place for 2 years, and that we expect to see go back to 7.65%. Everybody's going to it may not be a huge impact in their people's checks, but it's going to give them that much less walking around.
Now,
when you add them up, though.
When you say that 2%, that is actually going to, again, be paid by the employee, by the individual.
That's the employee. That's the individual.
Right.
So that's anybody that's working. That's anybody that's working that's got a W-2, and that's also going to affect the small business owners who have self-employment tax, too.
I was going to bring that around to that because people don't realize as a small businessman you have to pay your own, that half
you
of it as well.
You pay both shares of it,
So you get kicked.
The employer, until 2 years ago, the employer was paying 7.65. The employee was paying 7.65.
Correct.
And the government lowered the employee's portion down to 5.65 to create a stimulus in the economy.
And they took it out of Social Security because, of course, Social Security has so much money in it that it'll never go broke.
Full of IOUs. And now it's going back up. So all this stuff coming together at the same time is like a perfect tax storm in a way.
It really is.
And it's going to really cause a lot of havoc. So business owners who have employees, business owners who don't have employees, but they still have to pay these taxes, need to know what's going on. They need to be aware of how that's going to impact them.
Right, because there's a phrase I call it, and I probably shouldn't say it on the air, but we'll say it's an old crap situation. and we like to avoid old crap situations when we hate coming into February, March, and April, have somebody come in and end up owing a bunch of tax and saying, well, you know, if we'd have talked about this before the end of the year, we could have avoided it.
Can't turn the clock back, but you can try to plan. If you have a question for us, give us a call at 281-1150 in Appleton. If you're outside Appleton, call us at 1-866-887-1150.
Sounds like what we were talking about a little bit here is to kind of design somewhat of an either or strategy. Are people doing that today? Taking a look at what you have right now, what could happen as of 2013, and trying to devise what I would call an either or strategy. Either we go this way now, or that's what's going to happen.
Well, it's an either or strategy, and the either or of it is if you do something in 2012, you're playing by the rules that you know. You're playing by a set of rules that are pretty well set. Otherwise, if you decide the or end of it, then you're putting it off into an unknown era. So, you know, the old idea of defer taxes isn't really going to apply this year as much as it has in the past.
Okay.
Kurt, there's a investor beware, a 3.8% surtax is a game changer. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that gets back to what we were talking about earlier with the investment income, the dividends, the capital gains, and the interest income coming through. And that's going to be kicking in on all that unearned income that comes through with these people that have over $250,000 of earned income.
Okay. So the 3.8% Medicare tax applies to people who what?
If you have interest, dividends, and capital gains, and this is the first time that this has ever happened, on unearned income, which is interest, dividends, capital gains, they're charging 3.8% Medicare and Social Security tax. Medicare tax.
On any amount.
On any amount if your income's over that threshold.
This is very confusing.
It is. It's hard for us to understand even sometimes. Sometimes you have to put pencil to paper and follow the wording of it and say, okay, if this happens, and follow it word by word and run some numbers to see what's actually happening.
We talked a little bit earlier about adjusted gross income, but now there's a thing out there, modified adjusted gross income.
Right. And that changes based on every single rule that modified adjusted gross income affects.
Okay. What's your phone number again?
920-886-2241.
What was it?
920-886-2241.
Okay. I think anybody listening who has a question about how it's going to affect them, they really do need to get a hold of their accountant. Give Kurt a call.
Absolutely.
And find out what's going on. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Nancy.
The total of our Social Security payment would be $146.90. They're increasing it $42 from the standard, I guess, of $104.90. That's what everybody would pay because we've saved money throughout our life. We've worked all our lives and saved money. and we're going to pay almost $100 more a month in our Social Security between the two of us. And the only way that can be changed, of course, is when he does quit his job. But I was just wondering, he's paid in 3 years past his Medicare when he could have taken it because he's 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That MAGI, M-A-G-I, MAGI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're taking that figure before deductions. So all your property taxes and everything you've paid in doesn't matter. Your contributions, anything, they're going to take your gross income as a figure. And I don't know. It's a comment. I don't think it's right that
sure.
they oversee everything that
yep.
you've done.
Thanks, Nancy. Kurt, can you comment on that?
Yes, I can. That is a situation that comes up with a lot of people that are nearing retirement or in retirement. And what happens, and let me make sure I understand your situation, Nancy, they're taking the Medicare portion of your Social Security, the withholding portion, is increasing by, I think you said, $46 or something to that effect. And that happens based on what they call the unearned income, and this gets back to that interest, dividends, capital gains. And in that situation, they include rental income or anything like that also. And so what happens is when you go on Social Security, they withhold the Medicare portion for Part B, and that changes depending on the rest of your income. So it's a huge potential impact on there. And what we've seen in the past is retired people, you know, people going into retirement, finding out what Nancy did. The other thing that happens is people that are on Social Security, maybe they sell a piece of property and they have a huge capital gain in a particular year. That affects their Medicare Part B withholding for the following year.
Yep. They have to pay for that. Yep. Thank you, Nancy, for the question. That was a good question. We also have a caller on line 2 this morning. Good morning.
Morning. This is Raj from Appleton.
Hi, Rod.
We were just, analyzing the Obamacare and trying to find out, I think the bottom line is the impact would be, the health insurance will, hide the premiums for the people who are having the proper health insurance so that the underinsured and uninsured are covered with this Obamacare. That's what I understand. And prior to this, is the healthcare provider used to bill the people who are having proper insurance so that they can give, the healthcare to the uninsured and underinsured. So bottom line is, I think both ways, the people who are having proper insurance will be, having issues, right? They have to pay either way. So we don't find much difference between pre-Obamacare and post-Obamacare. So I just wanted to find out your thoughts on this, whether our thinking is right.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Well, I got to bite my tongue on the political end of it, but here, thinking down the road, one thing that's going to happen is some of these businesses that, for instance, typically would not have offered health insurance, like the people that own the hair salons that I was mentioning earlier, or restaurants, they're going to have to offer it or bite the bullet on the penalty. And so it's going to have a cost impact on there because that cost is going to have to get passed along to the consumer or somehow absorbed because, if thinking about the hair cutting situation, you're going to have the cost is going to get passed along. But the other thing that throws a wrench into things for the employer from a planning standpoint, we're trying to figure out what's considered a full-time employee, and there's 18 pages of what's considered a full-time employee. So sifting through that and trying to pass good information along these people makes it that much more confusing. And in those situations when the business owner has confusion, they tend to sit on their hands and not expand their businesses, and it doesn't grow the economy.
Exactly. And it's nothing's really simple. Thank you very much, callers, for calling in this morning. We're going to take our last break here. We'll come back for the final segment on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to Biz Talk. We're glad to have you with us this morning. We're talking to Kurt Haling, who's a partner with Albertson Haling CPAs here in Appleton and up in Green Bay. And we're talking about the fiscal cliff. We're talking about how to plan for what we don't know yet and just, I guess, be ready, quick on the trigger, and respond as quickly as we can. Kurt, give out your contact information one more time, if you would, please.
In the Valley, it's 920-886-2241, 920-886-2241. In Green Bay, 920-405-8549. The website is Alberts, A-L-B-E-R-T-S, Haling, H-E-L-I-N-G, CPAs, that's CPAS.com.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. This has been pretty informative this morning, trying to get an overview of the 3.8 and the 0.9 and the Bush tax cuts and a 2% increase in FICA again for the employee, and how all that's going to impact everybody in this country on this fiscal cliff decision. We hear a lot about that, but let me ask you this question, Kurt. What happens if we just go over?
Well, if we just go over, from the financial side of things, from the tax side of things, you know, taxes are a cost of doing business. Tax rates go up. That's a cost that's going to get passed along. You know, the Health Care Act that passed that's impacting more and more businesses, that's a cost of doing business that's going to get passed along. Those sorts of things are going to end up getting passed along to consumers in one way or another. You know, is it going to have an impact on inflation directly, you know, from the cost of everything going up? Yes. Will it affect interest rates? Who knows at this point? I mean, the crystal ball is pretty fuzzy at this point.
And interest rates are pretty much reflective of supply and demand, and if they keep supplying and there's a lot of demand and it keeps supplying, they can keep the rates low, artificially low for a while.
They can keep them artificially low for a while, but we've been in a period of historically low interest rates for a number of years. And every couple of years we keep saying, God, it's got to go up. At some point, I think at some point in the future it's going to go up. Is it going to be next year? I don't know. Is it going to be 3 years? Who knows?
Another thing about if we do end up going over this cliff into January of 2013 and the Congress doesn't make a decision, the president, they can't come together. After the event happens, if they do come to their senses in Washington, they can always retro back to January 1st, can't they?
Well, and that's right, Tony, because if January 1st comes around, they don't have a deal done yet. From the tax end of things, they can go until April or June or whenever and make the rules retroactive January 1st. The problem is you're working that 3-6 month period of time without knowing what the rules are going to be.
It's hard.
The other side of the fiscal cliff are the programs that get cut, the government programs that get cut, and that's the part of it that, you know, once all that funding gets cut, then you've got those employees in those programs that get cut. The beneficiaries of those programs are without benefits, and you've got that whole thing. That starts January 1st because those programs start going away at that point. And that's probably the more immediate issue. And that gets in a lot of programs that we don't deal with on the tax side, but it's something that's the other half of this fiscal cliff.
Well, the result of having to live with consequences that our leaders can't seem to agree on for what's good for the country are devastating for a lot of people in this country.
Well, it
sad
is.
Sad testimony for our leadership.
It is, and the can gets kicked down the road, and the can gets kicked down the road, and all of a sudden there's a day of reckoning, and that day of reckoning comes, and it makes a decision that much harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, again, most of the commentary I'm hearing, too, from some all the major corporations, you know, speaking on various shows and television and so on, is that the major cost that we have in this whole thing right now is the uncertainty that no one can figure out exactly what to do. Right. So everybody's standing there with their hands tied going, I can't make a plan. I can't do this. I can't do that. And the cost of doing nothing is extremely expensive.
You know, there's a talk about, Randy, there's a talk about another stimulus coming from the government. What greater stimulus could the government inject into the economy than to create some certainty, some reasonable certainty? And there's roughly $2 trillion of cash sitting in corporate checking and savings accounts today that people are waiting to invest and waiting to expand and waiting to hire people.
And those big companies don't move very quickly because of their size. They're like ocean liners trying to make decisions. They don't move real fast. It takes them 5 years to make a decision.
But if the leadership would show some certainty, a sense of direction, and not give deals away, but just common long-term five-year, okay, here's what we're going to do for the next 5 years. I think you'd see these big companies and a lot of small companies hire and invest and try to expand.
Absolutely, because then at least you know what the rules are going to be going forward.
Exactly.
And you know what you're playing by.
$2 trillion is a lot of money.
That's right.
Kurt, we always ask our guests to leave a biz tip. So do you have a biz tip for us this morning?
If you're going
to
jump off the fiscal cliff, take a parachute with you.
One without holes in it, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Randy, one last plug for your Christmas tree, your Wiseman.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the Wise Service Club still has the Christmas tree
people.
Lot, the Wise People, out in front of the Festival Foods on Northland Avenue. We'll be open today, tomorrow for sure. If you're looking for a 15-foot tree, we have a beautiful 15-foot balsam that is available. Stop over, take a look at it.
Go ask for Randy, and he'll even help load it on your car or in your trailer.
Yeah, bring friends. This is a biggie.
Well, we're sure glad you listened and tuned in this morning. Next week, our guest is going to be Mike Menghini from the Hurling Clark Law Firm, so we'll be talking some legal things. If you have any questions, if you have an interest in what's going on legally with your business, contracts, and that sort of thing, tune in next week. We're sure glad you joined us. We want to welcome you again next week, and thanks for tuning in this morning. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.